John chapter 10 is where we are today. We'll start at verse 17. But I want to raise our level of concern about current affairs. I don't know if you pay attention to what's going on or not. But this last week, the nation of Yemen fell and is now apparently, we don't know, have all the information, but is apparently under a Muslim terrorist group's control, or certainly the leader of Yemen stepped down. And if you know where Yemen is located, it's on the lower side of the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. Okay? Oman is down there as well, and then Saudi Arabia. Also, on that same peninsula, a guy, King Abdullah, who has ruled Saudi Arabia for a long time, died. And so now there is someone who has replaced him, but it's kind of up in the air as to what that person's going to do or be or that kind of thing. The influence of Persia, which is today called Iran, has gone up exponentially with especially the event in Yemen, because as they have, they're always in the background, and as they have brokered that kind of deal, now they control the lower side of the Arabian Peninsula. They are on the east side, and this thing that's going on in Syria, ISIS, you've heard of it, ISIL, whatever, folks, the whole thing is just coming around enveloping Israel. Always pay attention to Israel. That is the key issue. And this week, you also probably noticed the Speaker of the House invited the leader of Israel, Netanyahu, to speak before a joint session of Congress. And that created a big deal because the executive branch was not informed. And so the executive branch said, we're not going to meet with this world leader as he comes to Washington, D.C. Now, I'm not a politician, but I am a person who pays attention to what Scripture, how Scripture and events of the world line up. All right? And I would invite you to do the same thing. These are days that I've never seen anything like it. As these things, the players move closer and closer to their place on the stage of end-time events. All right. Well, that's not what we're going to deal with today, but I just want to encourage you to pay attention. What I do want to share with you today is in preparation for that, okay? We're going to look today at the wonderful plan of salvation. Now, before you go to the place you're tempted to go at this time and say, really? Again? I've heard that. Oh, friend. Yay, man. Yeah. Friend, if the result of the gospel message, salvation, does not excite you more today than the day you first believed, what are you doing? It's not a one-time event. It's not a box you check off. It is your life if you're in Christ Jesus. If not, if you are not in Christ Jesus, it's your only hope. That's what we're looking at today. Read with me, starting in verse 17 of John chapter 10. Jesus said, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon, and he's insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these aren't the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? The battle rages. It started in the garden. This battle that is raging, the issue of the battle, the reason for the battle, is something called life. L-I-F-E. On one hand, we have the thief Jesus told us about in John 10. The thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. To eradicate life. To snuff out life. To rob life. Anytime you see life being taken, the thief, the enemy, Satan, and his emissaries are directly involved. This whole thing of abortion that has ravaged our land for decades now. What does it do? It takes life. Who's behind that? You see? Murder. Anything that takes life. The thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Both in life as we know it physically, but also eternal life. So on one hand is the thief. On the other hand, Jesus has portrayed for us in a figure of speech, it says in verse 6, himself as the good shepherd. He said, I have come that they might what? Have life. Now, life not only as an experience, but also life of a certain condition. Abundant life, he said. So that's the battle that is raging. The destruction of life versus the giving of life. Now Jesus steps forward very overtly here, and he gives his defense as we've looked through these verses. And he said, I am the good shepherd. And he uses that metaphor, whatever it is, about a flock. And the shepherd. And he presents his case. He said, I give life to my sheep. I give life to my sheep. You see, he knows his sheep. If you are in the flock of God today, if you have passed from death into life in Jesus Christ, if you have repented, believed, and abide in his words, you are in his flock. You are his sheep, and he knows you better than you know yourself. If you are not in the flock, he does not know you as sheep. So this does not apply to you yet. But it can, as you believe, repent, believe, and abide. But if you are in his flock, he knows you. And you know him. In fact, there is no doubt, there is no hesitation, there's no reservation in your being. You know him. You know, we get into that deal sometimes, and through the years I've dealt with so many folks that, well, I don't know if I'm really saved or not. Oh, folks, if you are his sheep, you know him. And you know that you know him. And if there is doubt in your mind this morning, let's talk afterwards. Come and talk to Andy or myself. You must know him. And you know that you know him. Jesus said he knows us by name. We've touched on that a couple of times in the last few weeks. I just still can't get over that. Of the billions of people, there's 7 billion plus people alive today. And through the years, there's been more billions added to that. Out of all of those billions of people, he knows my name. And if you're a sheep, if you're in Christ Jesus, he knows your name. That's huge. That's huge. He knows your name. We know his voice. Have you been paying attention to his voice this last week? Have you heard it? Did he speak to you this week through the Holy Spirit who lives in you, through that still small voice, God the Holy Spirit? Jesus said, I'm going away, I'll send another like me, and he will be in you. And that's that still small voice that speaks from within to you. Have you heard it? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. Maybe he has spoken to you through his word this week. Oh, I pray that you've been in his word ongoingly, regularly, habitually, necessarily, that you've been in his word. And as you read that book, that word just leaped off the pages, specific to whatever issue is in your life, or just the thrill of the fact that he knows you. And that he may have spoken to you, and be careful here, through other people. He can use other people, but try the spirits when that happens. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He leads his sheep, he said. I lead my sheep, and his sheep follow him. Listen, and only him. We have something going on that really troubles me today, and that is, well, you know, I have my family life, I have my job life, I have my church life, and we have all this dualism going on. And so you kind of move with whatever the pressure point is in the domain in which you are focused on at that time. I don't know what that is. That is not lordship, for he is Lord of everything. You don't have a job life. You have a place where you earn a living in some means, and he's Lord of it. You have a family life, and he is Lord of it. No dualism. His sheep follow only him. Who do you seek for direction for your life on a moment-by-moment basis? Some of you say, now you're getting weird. No, that's just called lordship. And if he is not Lord of your life, he's not the Savior of your life. If he's not the Lord of your life, he's not the Savior of your life. He didn't give you a fire insurance policy. He gave you the Lord of your life himself. As he continues to present his case in this battle for life, he is obviously the antithesis of the thief, the opposite of the thief. Everything that the thief is, kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus is over here, the life giver. And these are not hollow promises. And this morning we're going to delve into the process whereby you can know him as the good shepherd, and you know that you are in the flock of God. That's where we pick up with verse 17. There are three things that I want us to look at here, okay? I want us to look at the problem. I want us to look at the plan. And then finally, I want us to look this morning, as soon as I can get all the pages turned, at the position, your position. The problem, the plan, and the position. Based on what I've just tried to draw up for us here, I've got a question. I pray that you have the same question, or you know the answer to it. And here's the question. At this point, given this battle that's raging between, for life, between the thief and the good shepherd, how do you get in the flock? That's the issue. How do you get in the flock? Because only in the flock is there life. Outside of the flock, there's destruction. How do you get in the flock? How do you guarantee the provision, the protection, the purpose, the position, the permanence, eternity, and the personal relationship with the Good Shepherd? How do you guarantee all of those things? And I don't use that word loosely. They can be guaranteed. How do you guarantee You see, there are some problems to getting in the flock. To get in the flock, you have to be called. You have to be invited. You can't join the flock. I mean, any idiot wouldn't join the flock. You can't just say, yeah, I'll take one of those. You can't join the flock. Now, I hope you're awake at this point. If you woke up then just now, you're probably a little bit startled, okay? You can't join the flock. You can join the Kiwanis Club. You can join the Baptist Church. You can join the you can join a lot of things around. You can't join the flock. You have to be called. You have to be called. Now I know some of you are getting really nervous now. I said, yeah, there he's going that Arminianism, Calvinism thing. No, I'm not. Forget that. You have to be called. You have to be called. You have to be invited to be in the flock. That's a problem. To be in the flock, there are some specific things he requires you to do. Repent, believe, and abide. You have to do those things. It's not works. It's the process of lordship. Repent, believe, and abide. And then to be in the flock, you have to be free of sin. And so you're saying, what am I doing here then? We know ourselves, don't we? But to be in the flock, you have to be free of sin. You can't do that by yourself. If you have lived your life to this point and have never sinned, would you stand up, please? I'm standing, but don't think I'm it's because of that. You see, I sinned. Oh, have I sinned. But I want to be in the flock. How do I get in the flock? I've sinned. You see, you have to be free of the presence of sin. You have to be free of the power of sin. You have to be free of the penalty of sin. And if you're in the flock, you are. You see, if you're in the flock this morning, that has been taken care of not by your effort, but by his sacrifice. And today, you are called holy. Holy sheep is a better way to describe it. There's no such thing as unholy sheep in the flock of God. All the sheep in the flock of God are holy. And not by your effort. You see, all of these things are beyond our ability as human beings. We can't deal with them in and of ourselves. To deal with the sins we have committed, to destroy the root cause of sin, the sinful nature, we can't do that. We can try, we can work, we can buy subscriptions, you can buy, you can't deal with it. It's impossible. You see the problem? We cannot call ourselves. We've already established that. You can't volunteer to be holy. I guarantee you, before the sun sets, as you try to be holy, you're going to fail at least once. I don't know what's going to be. Maybe it's the guy that runs a stoplight down here and you say, say it. You say, that's not a big deal. Oh, folks, sins aren't weighed. They're only registered. You see? There's no big sins and little sins. And the least sin you can think of or have committed is enough to make you not holy. Wow. You see the impossibility of being holy in and of ourselves? And as the respondent, we don't get to choose what we respond to. Only the initiator, Christ Jesus, does this. Therefore, there is a superior action and a superior ability that must come into this play of life for us to be in the flock. And Jesus said it very matter-of-factly. He said, no one can come to the Father but by me. So how do you get in the flock? We haven't answered that yet, have we? How do we get in the flock? We can't do it ourselves. But there is a plan, and Jesus deals with it. You see, getting in the flock is according to a divine plan. Divine, capital D. The creation of the flock of God is the work of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'll proof text all of those for you here in just a second. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all involved in this creation of this flock of God, of which Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And the establishment of this flock is based on this. For God so loved. That's the basis of the creation of this flock. You see, it's love that motivated holy God to bring unholy people to a condition that would allow them to have fellowship with Him. No way that you can have fellowship with God unless you're holy. And because of His love, for God so loved, He crafted the plan whereby you and I can be holy and therefore have fellowship with Him. Love motivated that. You see, to be holy, the sins that you have committed, the sins that you are committing, the sins that you will commit, all have to be atoned for. They all have to be eradicated, atoned for, unknown to the God of this universe. That's causing a little bit of, right? Because we know about it. But He doesn't, if we're in the flock. He looks out over the flock, His flock, and He says, not a sin in the bunch. Isn't that neat? Not a sin in the bunch. Not because of what we've done, but because of the plan. He made the sheep holy, if they are indeed sheep in His flock. The sins had to be atoned for, and that's the plan. The nature had to be dealt with, that sinful nature, and that's the plan. The Father established the process for doing this. He sent His Son to die for the sins of the world. That's the plan. That's the plan. Now, as we get into this verse, verse 17, maybe it bothered some of you. For this reason, the Father loves me. Did you get hung up on that statement? For this reason, the Father loves me. Do not read that as conditional. Now, we are all about conditional love. Sweetheart, I'll love you if you fix a nice meal today at noon. She returns and says, sweetheart, I'll love you if you wash the dishes afterwards. Conditional love. We're pretty well addicted to that, aren't we? Oh, it's tough for us to practice unconditional love. Jesus is not saying, Had I decided not to go to the cross, the Father wouldn't have loved. That's not what he's saying. That's conditional love. It's foundational love. God is love. And what he's saying here is for this reason, the reason that he is love, that's why he loves me. Because he's love. That's why he sent me to die for the sins of the world. Because I lay down my life because I love him. This reciprocal love between the Father and the Son is what allowed this plan to come to fruition. Jesus was tempted not to go to the cross. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, right? What did he say, though? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I love you more, Father, than I love myself. There it is. For this reason, the Father loves me. I lay down my life in obedience to the Father's will. The Father loves me as an expression of his love for the world. And this love compels me to lay down my life in accordance with his will and the need of our creation, God the Son. Yet Jesus does something interesting here. Did you see that? I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, if we didn't read the last part of that, I lay down my life, Jesus is really no different than any person, any human being who has laid down their life or died for a cause. He's no different. I mean, that's going on in the Muslim world right and left every day. Have you noticed now they've changed the language as they talk about some of these people that are killed in the Middle East? He died as a martyr. She died as a martyr. Have you been picking that up? I haven't seen that before. I'm starting to see it all the time now. I think it's a recruiting tool to encourage more suicide bombers, etc. I mean, this is not Buddhism. It's not Islam. It's not those. A lot of people have laid down their lives for a cause. They've given up their life for a cause. But oh, the difference that I may take it up again. Not a one of those people who have given up their life for a cause have been able to take it up again. Not a one. That's big. That's huge. This is God speaking. The plan, listen, the plan, I give my life as an atonement. My blood for an atonement for the sins of the world. And I will take it up again because I have defeated death, hell, and the grave. And if you're in the flock, you're on the winning side, so have you. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And in the process, the flock of God can be created. So the plan, the Father sent and raised up his Son. The Son laid down his life and he took it up again. You said, okay, 2 out of 3, that's not bad. But what about the Spirit? You said this was the Trinity, okay? Turn over to Romans chapter 8 with me. That's a chapter we've been in a lot lately, isn't it? You're not supposed to have favorites, but I got to confess to you, this may be my favorite, Romans 8. John 10's not bad. John 3's off. Well, forget, okay? But listen to verses 10 and 11. This plan is the work of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three yet one, okay? Listen to these verses, starting in verse 10. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit, capital S, is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, see God the Holy Spirit now? Raising, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This plan, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all active, all involved, all invested in the fact that you are in the flock of God, if indeed you are. Well, that was the problem. That's the plan, solving the problem. And now we come to the position. Look in verse 19. There was again a division among the Jews. Remember, the Jews are the flock in context. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not a part of this flock, but they come together, and there's one flock and one shepherd. We looked at that last week. There was given a division among the Jews because of these words. So you got this crowd around Jesus. I don't know how many, but Jews. Okay? Descendants of Abraham. And Jesus has just presented this teaching, and boop! Two camps immediately. Because of what Jesus had said. Many. How many? I don't know. Many of them said, he has a demon. He has a demon. And he's insane. Why would you listen to him? This is the camp over here. And the camp over here, others. These aren't the words of a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of a blind person? That's what got this whole thing started, remember? So you've got the division. Folks, we have that same division today. In this world, in this nation, maybe in this room. There are folks who would say the same thing that this crowd said. I don't know what all that stuff is about salvation, but you're a lunatic. If you believe that, everybody's getting in. There's no sinful nature. That's just an insane position. Oh, they're out there. They're out there more than there are in there. And the blasphemy that I'm hearing today against the Lord Jesus Christ is beyond anything I have heard in my lifetime. In this land. In this land. I'm not talking about the people over there in the Middle East or wherever. I'm talking about in this land. Blaspheming the name of Jesus Christ. The division exists today. So what's your position? Are you over here saying he's insane? He has a demon? That's ridiculous. I don't care. That's the big one that scares me today. The apathy. Who cares? Who cares? Live and let live. That's more dangerous than the people that were saying he has a demon. That's more dangerous, that position of apathy. What's your position? Do you believe that Jesus, very God, came and died as the sinless sacrifice for the sins of the world? your sins? Is that your position? Do you believe that? That doesn't mean a mental assent. That means a total giving up of and over to that fact and reality in your life. Or do you wonder in the wilderness of life, not really caring, just mainly interested in the bills are paid. You know, if I got enough money to buy a good time this weekend or whatever. If that's all that you're interested in. One of the two. There was only two here. Did you see that? Two. And there's only two now. In light of this wonderful plan of salvation, what is your position? Let's pray. Father, I marvel that your word, as I read it, meditated, studied on it this week, just the fact that there's a flock galvanized my attention. And just the fact that every person is either in the flock or not in the flock. It was so daunting. And Father, the whole issue of life. The fact that it is life or death. Those are the only two options. But what excited me beyond description was the fact that you specifically stated how every person can be in the flock. Oh, praise your name, Father, that there's a flock. Praise your name that there's access to it through Jesus Christ, your Son, who laid down his life to make it possible. Holy Spirit, come close this morning to anyone here who knows that they're not in this flock that Jesus talks about. They're not a sheep who he knows by name. Come close, Holy Spirit, to those who aren't sure. You have been speaking to them this morning. They don't know. They're drawn, but they don't know. Thank you, Father. Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for this wonderful plan of salvation. In Jesus' name.